Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
A reading from Jeremiah. O Lord, you know, remember me and visit me, and bring down retribution for me on my persecutors. In your forbearance, do not take me away. Know that on your account I suffer insult. Your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. I did not sit in the company of merrymakers, nor did I rejoice. Under the weight of your hand I sat alone, for you had filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unceasing, my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? Truly, you are to me like a deceitful brook, like waters that fail. Therefore, thus says the Lord, if you turn back, I will take you back, and you shall stand before me. If you utter what is precious and not what is worthless, you shall serve as my mouth. It is they who will turn to you, not you who will turn to them. And I will make you to this people a fortified wall of bronze. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail over you, for I am with you to save you and deliver you, says the Lord. I will deliver you out of the hand of the wicked and redeem you from the grasp of the ruthless. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read the psalm responsively. Give judgment for me, O Lord, for I have lived with integrity. I have trusted in the Lord and have not faltered.
Test me, O Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind.
For your steadfast love is before my eyes. I have walked faithfully with you.
I have not sat with the worthless, nor do I consort with the deceitful.
I have hated the company of evildoers. I will not sit down with the wicked.
I will wash my hands in innocence, O Lord, that I may go in procession around your altar.
Singing aloud a sound of thanksgiving, a song of thanksgiving, and recounting all your wonderful deeds.
Lord, I love the house in which you dwell, and the place where your glory abides.
A reading from Romans. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints, extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another, do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
From that time on, after Peter confessed that Jesus was the Messiah, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Then Jesus told his disciples, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly, I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
This week, the Unexplainable podcast focused on a worldwide phenomenon. Over the past century or more, human eyesight has tended toward higher rates of nearsightedness. The question they raised in this episode description went like this. Something about modern life is leading to higher rates of nearsightedness across the world. What is it? During the course of the podcast, they discussed a variety of possibilities, some fairly controversial. They noted that as early as the 19th century, some blamed the prevalence of reading books in poor light, especially, as the culprit for this new nearsightedness. That the current blame would point to screens, and especially smart device screens, remains notable. And yet, if indeed modern life privileges the need for close-up vision over far-off vision, and if in fact that privilege for the nearsightedness affects the brain and even evolutionary adaptation to accommodate, how does one make sense of this? Luther in the Small Catechism would ask, what does this mean? Perhaps, though this emerging reality raises other kinds of questions, if individuals get short-sighted, certainly that means more corrective lenses. For much of the past 40 years, some have raised concern that businesses, especially in the United States, have focused too much on short-term returns on investment. How might this play out in the life of the church? Following Peter's confession that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, Jesus begins explaining the implications of his identity as Messiah. Certainly, most Jewish people in the day had expectations about what it means that the Messiah had come or would come soon. Those expectations had to do with both religious and political realities under which they lived. To be sure, if the Messiah came, they would expect freedom from the oppressive rule of the Roman occupying force. Perhaps they could anticipate the Messiah serving as a ruler, a king in his own right, displacing Caesar. What Jesus describes goes against the grain of those expectations. The people, much less the disciples, did not expect the Messiah to suffer, to be killed, and on the third day to be raised. Imagine sitting in that board meeting. Somebody at the table might shake their head saying, "Bad plan." And in fact, Peter pulls Jesus aside and dares to rebuke his rabbi, his teacher. "God forbid it, Lord. This plan cannot come to pass." But Jesus identifies Peter, well, as Satan. Now, he's not referring to him as the one who embodies all evil in all creation, but as the one whose role includes testing. Hasatan in the Hebrew tradition tests, tempts perhaps, but certainly challenges one's commitment to following the ways of God. Jesus calls Peter the rock upon which the church shall grow, then almost immediately calling him Satan, flows into a question about Peter's eyesight. One might surmise that telling Peter that he focuses on human things and not on divine things suggests that Peter bears witness to human nearsightedness. Disciples, indeed, disciples also serve, who also serve as apostles sent out to multiply Jesus' ministry, need to focus on the long view. That far-reaching view attends to the reign of God, to the divine things. More so, focusing on that long view has implications for the disciple then as now. Following Jesus has a cost. It challenges people to let go of their self-focus and shift toward a focus on God's reign in their personal lives. As one member of the congregation noted recently, attending to the prayer that God's will be done also challenges the faithful to learn and act on what God's will involves for themselves and for the community in which they live and breathe and have their being. Jesus frames it in terms of putting down one's own life and taking up the cross and following. Now, taking up the cross in modern interpretation often gets framed as some personal suffering or burden that one must bear. It tends to be rather self-focused. What many theologians and Bible scholars suggest reframes taking up the cross. The focus turns outward. Taking up one's cross draws individuals and communities to move beyond their individual needs and to seek the good of all people. Indeed, some frame the concern as to make disciples of all nations. To be sure, that is the Great Commission from the last chapter of this gospel. Perhaps focusing on divine things, focusing on the reign of God come near, involves first inviting people to know Jesus. Come, meet Jesus. And where I meet Jesus includes in the gathering of the faithful, hearing God's word, and sharing in the meal. In fact, the affirmation of baptism includes precisely these commitments: to live among God's faithful people and to hear God's word in Scripture and to share the Holy Supper. But the part about putting aside self-focus and turning to the needs of the world, indeed risking suffering for the sake of the world, comes in those next three commitments in the affirmation of baptism: to proclaim the good news of Jesus in word and deed, to serve all people following the example of Jesus, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth. The whole of the church receives this call to learn, to be disciples, and to go out, indeed, to be sent out by Christ, to be apostles for the sake of this world that desperately needs the transformation that arrives in the reign of God come near. All of this marks the presence of the Messiah, the Anointed One, who makes all things new. Let us live into this truth, shifting focus from what is near to what expands our horizons in the name of God's love. Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.